I'm glad to be here. It's a privilege for me to be here. My name is Majd. I have some greetings to you all from Dennis Stone. I had coffee with him a couple of days ago, and he said you should stand there and say Dennis sends his greetings. So here you are. You know the scripture that was read some minutes ago, you know, became so personal to me when I came to Canada. And what I love about the Bible is whenever you read the Bible, you read the same text, you learn different things. When I was reading this text in Aleppo, I am originally from Homs, Syria, and lived most of my life in Aleppo, a city northern Syria. I think you are hearing the news about the hard times Aleppo is having. As a result of the war, I was obliged to leave Aleppo and go to Lebanon. And that was one of the hardest steps I took in my life. And I felt that I was just left alone over there. However, I found it's different. In Lebanon, I learned more how to trust the Lord more. I learned that when I am outside my safe zone, I can get closer to the Lord. I can understand more. I can learn more from the Word of God. When I was in Lebanon, I had the chance to work with the Syrian refugees that are there, my people that are in Lebanon. I studied theology there, and, you know, Angel and I were engaged back then, and we were praying that, Lord, I need a source of income, right? Being a seminary student isn't something that makes you rich, eh? So we needed a source of income. So I was praying, Lord, we need something. I need to work. And then out of nowhere, I got this opportunity to work with a Christian organization that works with refugees. You know, I was the only student that was chosen between the 50 students in my class to work for them. And that was for more than a year. And back then, I was thinking, you know, thank you, Lord, for, you know, fulfilling my prayer. You know, I prayed, you know, Lord, I need some money, and he gave me this work. But then when I came here to Canada, I understood that that work was not because I needed money back there. That work was because when I come here to Canada, I will use that experience to help my people when I come here to Canada. That's what I learned from the Lord. You know, we live in it's kind of a puzzle. You cannot see what's going on until you finish the scene. When I came out of Lebanon and I came to Canada, I looked back and I saw that, you know what, thank you, Lord, because you gave me that opportunity. Because of that, now I can stand here and do what I can do. When I came to Canada, I got in touch with the Canadian Baptists through Rod Olson. I think some of you would know him. Great friend of mine. And I volunteered, as all Syrians do. You need to volunteer in Canada and get a Canadian experience, right? So you can work. I volunteered and I was hired to do some work with the Canadian Baptists. It was a great time. You know, we had the goal to sponsor 30 families. And then by the grace of God and by the generosity of our churches, we were able to sponsor more than 240 people. And this is way beyond what we planned to do. You know, this was just because, you know, churches stepped up and said, you know what, we want to help these people. We want to outreach these people. When I was back there in Lebanon and in Syria, of course, I was looking at this text through a personal lens. You know, what could I learn from it? How could this text apply to my life? And then when I came here and started working with the Canadian Baptist and working with all the churches that we're working with, I started seeing, you know, we need to use a wider lens to look at this text. We need to look at this text in a lens that covers the church, covers maybe Western Canada. And then I was asking myself, what are we asked to do? Why we do what we do? When I, you know, after 3-4 months of working, you know, all the busy times, and then I had the time to sit with myself and think, why do we do what we do? You know, why do we sponsor people? Why do we outreach to people? Why do we think about a family that is living in Lebanon that we know nothing about them? We can barely spell their names, right? Just like my name. Why do we sponsor these people? And then I started reflecting on this, and I'll take some time to share some points with you, things I learned from the Bible, and they apply to our daily life as churches here in Canada. You know, the first thing, why do we do what we do? Why do we sponsor refugees? Why do we outreach to people outside our borders? It's because God's wonderful character. You know, human beings believe in a power, most of them at least, believe in a power greater than themselves. And if they don't know the true God, they will try to make up a God for them, right? And they do that so that they can explain the mysteries of life. And this man-made God, the God that we create, or some people create, is an emotionless God, you know, a God that has no heart, a God that cannot feel, just because feeling makes a result like, you know, a change is change of state, right? If you have feelings, your involves a change from one state to another. This kind of emotionless God is kind of like icicle that never melts, like a cube of ice that never melts. By contrast, the God that we worship, the God of the Bible, is a God full of emotions, is a God that feels with us, is a personal God. You know, the Bible is full with verses that show us that our God is genuinely personal. The Bible uses verses, uses words that are personal, personal pronouns describing our God. You know, Psalms 2:4, for example, our God laughs. He who sits in heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. He grieves, Genesis 6:6, and the Lord regretted that he made man on earth, and it grieved him to his heart. He hates, Psalms 5:5, the boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. Our Lord is patient. Nehemiah 9:30, many years you bore with them and warned them by your spirit through your prophets. Yet they would not give ear. Therefore you gave them into the hand of peoples of the land. You know, this God is full of emotions. He has all the emotions that we have as human beings. But the most significant character or emotion that our Lord has that is applicable to the work that we do is that our God is compassionate. Our God has a heart of compassion. You know, the Hebrew scripture uses at least two words to describe this character, this attribute of God. The first one is El Rahum. In Arabic, we say Ar Rahim, which means God is compassionate. And the other word is Hesed, and it is the well-known quality of God, you know, the love and kindness and faithfulness, the love that is steadfast, loyal, and that is never lost, can never be taken away. This is the compassion of God. This is something that we need to learn from God. You know, it is something inside him. He does not change. He does not change. You know, Deuteronomy 4:31, because the Lord your God is compassionate God, he will never abandon you nor destroy you. He is compassionate. Psalms 145:8, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And you know, to take this kind of character attribute and think, you know, back in Genesis, God created Adam and Eve because God loved Adam and Eve. And God told them, you know what? I want to be in relationship with you because I love you. And then they chose not to do that. They chose to break the relationship. And what did God do? If it was for us, what we do? We just turn our backs and leave. But no, he is a gracious God. He's compassionate. God provided ropes. Although they were the ones that broke the trust, but God provided the ropes for them. And the Lord made for Adam and Eve garments of skin and clothed them. Why do we do what we do? Why do we sponsor people? Why do we outreach to people? Because God cares about displaced people and vulnerable people. He's a gracious God. He's a compassionate God. And he cares. You know, to care is a prophetic act. When you care, you show people what the real kingdom of God is about. You show it. People can see it. It's not only about talking about the kingdom of God. When you care, you show the reality of the kingdom of God. You know, this care and compassionate heart isn't something that, it's not only that the Lord said it once, you know, I have a gracious heart and I am compassionate. No, our God lived this. He acted this. We see it when, we can understand this when we see that, you know, the weak are not discarded or overpowered. And when we think back, you know, we were with Adam and Eve and then the story continues. We come to Abraham and then Abraham and Sarah had this Egyptian maidservant, Egyptian. She's not from the people of God. She's not from Abraham's family. She's Egyptian. And when Abraham and Sarah were waiting for the baby, you know, God promised the baby, and then they couldn't wait anymore. So Sarah said, you know what, you go marry this lady, and then you'll have a baby. She got a baby for Abraham, and then problems started happening, as all Middle Eastern people, you know, people from the East always have problems with in their families. So this is typical us, right? When we read this story, we can totally understand what two wives would do, right? So, and Sarah did what normal people do. She just let her go. Just go. I don't need you anymore. But then God came up and revealed himself to Hagar, the lady that's vulnerable, the lady that is not part of his people, an Egyptian lady. We read in Genesis 16:13. So she went out, right? She went out. She ran away from the house of Abraham and Sarah. And then God came. God revealed himself to her. She called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are a God of seeing. For she said, truly here I have seen him who looks after me. The Lord revealed himself to vulnerable people. Why do we do what we do? Why do we sponsor people? Because we learn in the Bible that the Lord looks at all the people in equally. Everybody is equal before the eyes of the Lord. The Lord doesn't see a difference between foreigners, refugees, and citizens and landowners. You know, the scripture we read up, Joseph was, you know, he was the king, right? He was the second man after Pharaoh, and he helped his family come to Egypt, and he gave them land and, you know, prosperity all over. And then they needed to learn a lesson out of that. It's not, our life is not always easy, and, you know, like we were living in Syria in a safe zone. Nobody thought that they would come to Canada. Not because Canada is a bad country, just because we were happy. Now here, everybody here is living happily in Canada. Nobody would think, you know, maybe we would go to Malaysia one day to live there because we're refugees. Nobody will think this way. We were living in a real happy life. And this war came to teach us a lesson, and this lesson was the same lesson that the Lord taught to these people. You know, after Joseph died, we read in Exodus 1:8-11 that a new king rose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal assuredly with them, lest they multiply, and if a war breaks out, they join our enemies. And then they became slaves. They were landowners. They were the brothers of the king. And they became landowners just because the Lord wants them to learn a lesson. You know, they cried out to the Lord. We know the story. They cried out to the Lord, and the Lord sent Moses. You know, go, take my people out. Let them go to the promised land. They will own a land. And when they went to their land, to the land they owned, God told them another lesson. And we read that in Deuteronomy. God told them, now you own this land. Hey, Canadians, you own this land. But when foreigners come here, you should treat them as you treat your own family. That's what God was telling his people back then. God was telling them, I see no difference between a citizen and a foreigner. And in Deuteronomy, he was telling them about all, you know, the laws, what they should do, what they shouldn't do when they have foreigners around. And every time he says something, he tells them, but you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt and that the Lord God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this. God was always reminding them that once upon a time, back in history, they were slaves in Egypt and God took care of them. Therefore, now, when you own this land, you should take care of the people that are coming to your land. And this is what I love about this country. You know, when first I came to Canada, you know, I was living in Lebanon. I pray that nobody would experience anything from what Syrians experienced in Lebanon, Jordan, and Turkey. I don't know where the families you sponsored came from. You know, in Lebanon, you have no dignity, right? You have no rights at all. Nothing. And then when I came to Canada, I saw the contradictory over here. People take care of each other. You have dignity. You have a permanent resident card, right? At least you are just like any other Canadian. The only thing you cannot do is you cannot vote. And as people coming from Syria, we don't care, right? We never voted, right? It's, why would we vote? When I was in the interview at the embassy, the officer told me, you know what, you'll become a permanent resident of Canada, but unfortunately, you won't be able to vote until you get the citizenship after 4 years. I'm like, I don't care. And he was surprised, right? I'm like, you don't care about voting? I'm like, no, of course I don't. I never voted, right? You never vote in Syria. Why would you vote, right? So this is what I love about Canada. In Canada, everybody is equal. Everybody is equal. At least by the eyes of... Maybe some people in practical life maybe don't treat others equally, but this is the lesson that we need to learn here as a church. We people here, we own this land. We are here for years and years and years. We should look at the people that are coming here, Syrians, Iraqis, any other population. All these people are coming to our land, not because they're refugees, they're illegal migrants here, because we own this land, therefore we should treat them equally. We should love them because the Lord loves them. And the other thing that I love about Canada, and this is a great lesson that we should learn, that everybody here has a story. Everybody came from somewhere else, right? So the story of the people of Israel is a story of everybody here in this place, I think. Everybody came from somewhere else. When the first time I went to the office, the first staff meeting we had in the office, they were introducing me there, and you know, they told me, you can share a bit of your story, where do you come from? And then I remember that day, they told me, don't be ashamed or don't be like shy to say that you're from Syria, because none of us here in the office is from Canada. You know, we have some people from China, we have some people from Ukraine, we have some people from Germany. Everybody came from somewhere, and everybody has a story. That's what I learned here in Canada. I'm not the only one that is new to this country. Maybe you came to Canada before me, maybe 50 years ago, maybe 60 years ago, but at least you have a story. You have the same experience I had when I came here. We need to remember this very well. We all came to this country in a day. And we shouldn't forget that day. And we shouldn't mistreat the people that are newly coming to this country. Because when we show them our love, when we show them the compassionate heart of the Lord, after 50 years, they will show the same heart to other people that will come to this country. That is the lesson that the Lord was trying to give to these people over here. Why do we do what we do? Why do we sponsor? Why did I come to Canada? Why are you here in this place? It's because I started thinking about Jesus. Jesus and the vulnerable foreigners. And I had this question in my mind. And it was, who were Jesus' friends? Who are your friends? Are you friends with the richest people in Claire's home? Are you friends, you know, with the mayor? And, you know, in our countries, the mayor would be the richest person. I don't know how does it work here. So are you friends with the richest people over in town? Are you friends with the people that have big houses and big cars? Or are you friends with vulnerable people? Who were Jesus' friends? Let's think about that. You know, I will encourage you, when we leave here, go home and read Mark chapter 8. All the people that God meets, and it's written in that chapter, all were vulnerable people. I'm not going to talk a lot about that chapter, but I want to encourage you to read about it later on. Who were Jesus' friends? You know, God, as God incarnate, Jesus reflected his Father's nature. Not only the divine holiness, but the divine heart, the same characters, the same compassionate heart that God had toward the people of Israel back in history, was the same heart that Jesus had while he was walking around in Jerusalem, in Judea, in any other place. It was the same heart that Jesus was speaking to the people around him. It was the same heart that God had. According to Jesus, this divine compassion he had would change the life of people. We are so good in preaching, Bible studies, discipleship, but sometimes we lack the experience of loving people and taking care of people. Sometimes doing the act is better than speaking. Sometimes, you know, sitting beside a person that is crying, sometimes visiting a Syrian family that is lonely, that has nobody here in Canada, is maybe better than speaking, than preaching. That is what I feel when I go visit these families. I have the privilege to visit the families that are sponsored through the Canadian Baptist. It's a real privilege to be there, you know. And then I want to tell you something. So I learned that there are no other Syrians in Claire's home, right? You sponsor two families, and these are the only families here. Okay, let me tell you something. I learned this from a lady in Edmonton. She told me, if I don't go knock on their door, nobody will do that. Because they have no friends over here. They have no family. If I don't go knock on their door, and if you don't, and if each and everybody of us don't go to their door and knock their door and have a visit there, nobody will go there. They will stay lonely forever. It is something we should do. It's an act of love. It's an act of compassion. It's not only words and paperwork. You know, we sponsor on paper. I sign the papers, send them to the government. The family's here. Here's your house. Here are the keys. Goodbye. No. And then we preach in church. God is good. We have the same compassion of God. We sponsor the family. No, it's an act of love. It's a daily act of love. And I was so happy, you know, hearing here the update that was given. You know, we need somebody to help them driving. We need somebody to help them, you know, to go cut their hair. You know, it's something amazing what the churches are doing. Just go out. Go out of the church. Go visit them. Go do something with them. It is the heart that Jesus had. Who were Jesus' friends? He became friends and he got close to the people that nobody wanted to be friends with. In Matthew 8, Jesus didn't hesitate to touch a leper. Nobody would get close to him. And we read, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. You see his sentence? He didn't tell him, you know, Lord, please give me a hug. Because he knew that nobody would touch him. Nobody would get close to him. And what did Jesus do? Jesus touched him. Before he told him, yes, I will, and go, you're clean. Before Jesus told him, go ahead, you're clean. What did Jesus tell him? He told him, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleaned. Before Jesus said that, he touched him. He showed him love. Jesus healed the daughter of a pagan Canaanite woman. Jesus sat on a well. It's a well, right? With a Samaritan woman. We have two problems here, right? One, she's a woman. In the Jewish background, she's a woman. Nobody sits and talks to a woman, right? And she's Samaritan. She is the, and what do we say? The eternal enemy of the Jew. There is no Jew that would sit on a well in front of all the people and talk to a woman, right? And Jesus did that. Why? Because he wanted to show her the compassionate love he has. The compassionate heart he has towards her. This is the lesson that we need to learn. This is the lesson that we need to take out with us here. What is the heart that you have? Do you have the same heart that God had toward the people? Do you have the same heart that Jesus had toward the people he was working, he was around? When I go around and meet all the families I'm working with, as I said, it's a privilege. It's not work, it's a ministry. By the way, what you're doing isn't work, it's ministry. It's ministry. We need to remind ourselves about this. I had a meeting in Muskoka 2 weeks ago, and I was sharing that, you know, guys, keep remembering that our sponsorship refugee work, it's a ministry. It's a ministry. It's in the Bible. It's a ministry. It's not a job. We have job descriptions, but it's a ministry. You know, when I go around and meet with all the families I work with, you know, I always feel that I need to do more to them. I need to visit them more. You see that they need more, right? It's not always about money and houses and work. And it's about love. It's about time. It's about emotions. And then when I look back and see Jesus, Jesus' character made him loved by people around him. Yes, he did miracles. Yes, he was a great preacher. He stood up and he spoke. He was a great speaker. But his love made people love him and get close to him. It's not only our words. I want to end up with some questions just to reflect and think about before we pray. I'm so happy that you did what you did. You sponsored some families. But then going out from here, keep these questions with you. Keep thinking about these things. Are you reflecting God's compassion in your daily life? Or you did it once and that's it? Are you doing it day after day? Are you living and treating people the way God is treating them? Or there is only like 10 people in the church, this committee that is volunteering to do this? Are they only the ones that are showing God's love and grace? Or is each and every one of us doing that? Are you friends with Jesus' friends? Or you have your own category of friends that you can't leave, you can't be friends with others? Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and pray. Take some time, reflect on the questions. Take some time and think about yourself, your ministry, your family. Ask yourself, am I doing the right thing? Am I showing the right character, attributes, feelings toward my new Syrian friends and others in town? If yes, praise the Lord. If maybe or sometimes, ask the Lord to help you, to reveal His compassionate heart to you, so you can live with the same heart with others around. Father God, I want to thank you for this church. I want to thank you for their ministry, for their love, for their compassionate heart they had once when they did sponsor people from my own land, people from Syria. Thank you for their continuing work, continuous work they do with the family, for their compassionate heart that is revealed to these families day after day. Thank you, Lord, for each and everybody in this church that is contributing his time, his money, his efforts, his car, maybe his information, the background he has. Thank you, Lord, for their lovely hearts and ministry they're doing. I want to thank you, Lord, for the time we had this morning. I want to ask you, Lord, to remind us day after day that you are the God of compassion. You are the God of love. You will never abandon us. I pray that we learn this lesson and we apply this lesson in our daily lives with each other as Canadians or with our new Canadian friends or with anybody we are in touch with. I want to pray for this church, for their ministry, for their pastor, for the leadership team, for everybody that comes to this church, so that, Lord, they will know you more and they will love you more. And they will show others the love you showed them once on the cross. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.